minutes. Well, let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you very much that you are a speaking God. And the book of Hebrews tells us that you have spoken to us through your Son. And so as he speaks, help us to listen. Help us to delight in our Lord Jesus Christ and live in the light of what he says, how he lived, and what he calls us to. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus is the most loving person to have ever lived on this world. Is that true? After all, as the great philosopher Reg Presley put it, love is all around me, it's written in the wind, it's everywhere I go. Okay. Reg Presley wasn't a philosopher. He wrote the words to Wet Song, Love is All Around Me. But it's true, isn't it? It's everywhere we go, everywhere we look, there is love. People love. People do loving things. How can it be the case that Jesus is the most loving person to have ever walked the earth? Well, the letter to the Romans helps us here. See, in the letter to the Romans, Paul goes into detail about Jesus' death for us. So I'm particularly talking about Romans chapter 5 here. He goes into detail about Jesus dying, and he uses some wonderful words. Three of the words that he uses in Romans chapter 5 are these: ungodly, sinners, and enemies. So in verse 6, it says he uses the word ungodly. In verse 8, he uses the word sinners. And in verse 10, he uses the word enemies. Why are they striking? Well, they're striking because they describe who Jesus died for. So in verse 6, Paul says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. That's really helpful for us to know this as we come to our passage in Luke's Gospel this morning. It's very easy for us to hear Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6 and think, it's all well and good, Jesus. All well and good, Jesus telling us to love our enemies. But would Jesus do it himself? Romans chapter 5, we get our answer. We see this, in fact, through the sweep of the Gospels, that there was nothing that Jesus calls his followers to that he wasn't prepared to do himself. In fact, there's nothing that Jesus calls his followers to do that he didn't do himself. Jesus showed a love which was radical to people who were enemies of God. So if you're here this morning and you're not trusting in Jesus, if you're not living as if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you're a person who doesn't believe that God is worth listening to, that Jesus isn't important, if that's you, the Bible says that that creates a chasm between us and God. It's sin. Sin is turning our back on God. And it's a problem. The problem is not least because it mars our relationship with God. The wonderful thing is, if that's you, Romans chapter 5 says, you are the person that Jesus died for. And we must remember, irrespective of how long any of us have been following the Lord Jesus, that was us once. We have all been enemies of God. And Jesus died for each one of us. Now, this isn't to say that now, if we're Christians, showing radical love is easy just because Jesus did it. In fact, it's important to recognise that it isn't always natural for us to love like Jesus loved. And yet, as Christians, Jesus does call us to love unnaturally. And this is our first point this morning. What does Jesus call his followers to do? He calls us to love unnaturally. Because it is unnatural. It is to love unnaturally if we're to love in any way like Christ. If we're to love unnaturally, what is it to love naturally? Well, to love naturally is to show love to people who show us love back. Those who we believe are deserving of love. Those close to us, like family and friends. Those who we have something in common with, maybe. We find it easy to love those people, don't we? It comes naturally to us. Whereas unnatural love is love that is undeserved to a people who don't deserve it, to a people who haven't earned it, to people who we don't naturally gravitate towards with affection. And Jesus says in verse 27, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, we've seen that this is exactly what Jesus did. He loved his enemies. But what we get as Jesus goes on is a really helpful breakdown of what it looks like to love our enemies, or in fact anyone who we don't naturally gravitate towards with affection. So there are three characteristics of loving unnaturally, and you'll see it in the passage. So if you have a look down at verse 27, Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. What is it that Christ calls us to do? Well, imagine there's someone who hates you. Hopefully there's no one who hates you, but maybe there is. Maybe there's someone who would like nothing better than to see you fail and fall and crash and burn. Actually, if we're Christians, it is true that there are people who hate Christians, who hate people who follow the Lord Jesus. Precious, our resident bishop here, he goes to countries where Christians are persecuted in the most horrendous way. For believing in Jesus. And Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. So picture that person, and Jesus says, picture doing something really nice for them. Something really lovely for them or to them. It's not natural, but it is a characteristic of loving unnaturally. Unnatural deeds. That's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is unnatural words. So if you look there at verse 28, what does Jesus go on to say? Bless those who curse you. So you're driving down the street, and for whatever reason, you get a right earful from another driver. He's cursing away at you and saying that he wants to do all sorts of horrible things to you. Maybe you meet someone and they hear you're a Christian and they start waxing lyrical about just how horrible you are. And they lay into you verbally. What does Christ call us to? What is that second characteristic? Not following up their abuse with abuse, but with unnaturally gentle words. So unnatural deeds, unnatural words, unnatural prayers. Do you see that there in verse 28 as well? Pray for those who ill-treat you. So pray for those who mistreat you. This is possibly the most important. Because as someone once said, it is impossible to truly pray for someone and hate them at the same time. We're called to pray even when it feels so unnatural to do so, because by praying, we are encouraged all the more to do and to say the unnatural to those who we don't naturally gravitate towards in love. So, there you are. Jesus calls us to love unnaturally with our deeds and our words and our prayers. And then in verse 29 and 30, he gives some examples. So let's have a look at that. Verse 29, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now this helps us ask a question of ourselves. So what is this? Is this a command for all Christians to sort of roll over and be a doormat? To take it on the chin? To, give everything away? No. Otherwise, all Christians wouldn't have anything, would we? We'd have given everything away. We'd always be in hospital having been hit and then saying, go on, hit me again. No, that's not what Jesus is calling us to. Rather, what we see here in verse 29 and 30 is the ultimate expression of the golden principle, which is found in verse 31. Can you see it there? Do to others as you would have them do to you. And it helps us to ask the question of ourselves. And the question is this. Where is your first port of call when you're mistreated? Rather than, as is probably very easy for us to do, and we may see it in the world all the time, we see it around us, the idea, do to others as they have done to us. No, rather, there's something radical about the Christian. So it's not you slap me, I slap you back. It's not you steal from me, I cut your hand off. It's not reacting to injustices with a retaliating blow. Rather, we start from a position of being ready to give. We start from a position of being prepared to lose what we have. It's unnatural. It's totally unselfish. It's self-denying. But where have we seen this before? The Lord Jesus, of course. You see, if Jesus, when he walked the earth, had lived with that sort of worldly principle, do to others as they have done to you, there'd be no hope. How did we treat Jesus? Well, here's what happened. Jesus came to this earth and we killed him. Jesus had lived by that principle, there'd be no hope. There would be no salvation. No, Jesus lived by this principle in verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So after the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 1989, no person in all of East Germany was more despised than the former communist dictator, Erich Honecker. He'd been stripped of all of his offices, and even the Communist Party rejected him. So he was kicked out of his villa. The new government refused him and his wife new housing, and so the Honeckers were homeless and they were destitute. Enter Pastor Uwe Holmer. He was the director of a Christian help centre north of Berlin, and he was made aware of the Honeckers' straits. And Pastor Holmer felt it would be wrong to give them a room meant for even needier people in the hostel. So Pastor Holmer and his family decided to take the former dictator into their own home. Now, Erich Honecker's wife had been the ruler of, if you like, the educational system in Germany for 26 years. And Pastor Holmer had 10 children, and 8 of them had been denied education, higher education. And they'd been denied higher education because Erich Honecker's wife, Margot, had discriminated against all Christians. But now here they were, caring for their personal enemy, the most hated man in Germany at the time. It was so unnatural, so unconventional, but so Christ-like. By the grace of God, the Holmers loved their enemies. They did them good. They blessed them. They prayed for them. They turned the other cheek. They gave them their coat, or in this case, their own home. They did to the Honeckers what they would have wished the Honeckers would do to them. And this is what the Lord calls for Christ's followers, to love unnaturally. And there are two really helpful reasons for obeying Jesus here. Of course, we should obey Jesus because he's Jesus. But there are two very good reasons for obeying Jesus, which he gives us. And the first is this, and this is our second point. There's no credit for natural love. no credit for natural love. Have a look down with me, won't you, at verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. So having said that we're to love unnaturally, Jesus goes on to say that if we do these things in verse 32 and verse 33, loving and doing good and lending, particularly to people who it comes naturally to do so, we really shouldn't expect any sense of achievement or any congratulations or any well done. It's a little bit like me standing in front of you this morning, breathing in and out and expecting you, not expecting, demanding you to say, well done, Martin. Oh, it's amazing. Good breathing. Well done. And then after the service, which you're very welcome to do, come and pat me on the back and say, oh, that was excellent breathing in. I've never seen anything like it. Well, of course, that would be ridiculous. It comes naturally. I don't deserve any credit for it. As it is with these things, when people are nice to us and are good to us and lend to us, we will be happy in return to do good and to lend and so on. And we can't expect a pat on the back for it. And you know, this is a great reminder to us that Jesus isn't a universalist. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that, yes, Jesus' message is for all people to hear. It's very important. It's why we have missionaries, isn't it? Going to all parts of the world to spread the good news of Jesus. However, salvation is not secured by the fact that we're nice. So some people, and I am afraid to say, it is possible to go into some churches and hear this as well, they'll say that everyone will go to heaven. Even though Jesus spoke about judgment and hell more than any other person in the New Testament. Some people will want to say that it makes no difference how we treat God, whether we sin or whether we turn our back on God. Look at us. We're lovely. We do lovely things. We're good. We give to charity. We're helpful to our neighbours. We come to church. We read the Bible. We pray. We've been baptized. We've lived in a family of Christians. Jesus says anyone can do that. Think of the most evil person who has ever lived. And even that person can love people who love them back. This is no way to climb steep steps to heaven. Because there are no steps to heaven. We are saved by grace, and grace alone, not by works, so that no one can boast. Of course, loving others is a great blessing in our world, but it isn't what saves us. It isn't what saves us. There's no credit for natural love. But, and here's our final point this morning, there is eternal reward for unnatural love. There is eternal reward for unnatural love. And this is the great motivation for us. What's the reward? Have a look down at verse 35. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Wonderful. It's going to be a great reward. What is it? Being children of the Most High. What does it mean to be children of the Most High? Well, it means that we will be like God. That we will have the characteristics of God our Father. A less impressive way of putting it would be to say, our reward is to be a chip off the old block. That is the reward. How so? Well, it's a little bit like Karate Kid. You're on tender hooks now, aren't you? How on earth is it like Karate Kid? Well, in Karate Kid, if you haven't seen the film, it's great. This is the original I'm talking about. There's a boy called Daniel, or Daniel-san, as he's called. And Daniel is getting bullied. But then he meets Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi says he'll help him to learn to defend himself. And Mr. Miyagi tells Daniel to turn up at his house every day and he will train him. So Daniel turns up. And he turns up and Mr. Miyagi gives him a job. His first job is painting the fence. Up, down, up, down. And then his second job is washing the car and polishing and waxing the car. Wax on, wax off. I wish I was an actor. The third job is scrubbing the floor and waxing the floor. Wax on, wax off. This goes on for weeks, probably months. And then Daniel is so frustrated, he snaps. And he confronts Mr. Miyagi and he says, I've been coming here week after week and you haven't taught me anything. At which point, Mr. Miyagi launches and out comes the punch. And Daniel blocks it with his wax on. And then he punches him again and Daniel blocks it with a wax off. And he kicks him and he kicks him again and he blocks it with a wax on and a paint the fence. It's all very exciting. Oh dear. He thought what he was doing was pointless. But he was given a great reward. Notice, the reward wasn't handed to him. The reward was in what he was doing. As it is with us, when we obey our Lord Jesus Christ and show unnatural love, it's a great internal promise to us that we are living as Christ lived. The reward is in the work, and the fact that we have done it shows that we are Christ-like. It is its own reward. Why? Because we're being more like Jesus, the most wonderful person who has ever lived and has ever loved. And we're promised that when we trust in Jesus, we are united with him. And when we love unnaturally, it's a great reassurance to us that we are recipients of that promise. It's a great motivation to love unnaturally. It's seen in Christ, and we can show Christ in us with radical, unnatural love. So, who is it in your lives that you can show radical, unnatural love to? Maybe it's your slightly annoying neighbour. Maybe it's someone at work who just rubs you up the wrong way. Maybe it's a family member who insists on making you feel this small because you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to have paid for your sins on the cross. Be assured that in showing this unnatural love, by starting from a position of being willing to be self-denying and unselfish, ready to give, we will have received a great reward of being, verse 36, merciful, just as our Father is merciful. Of being more and more like Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So as we're more and more like Jesus, we're more and more like our Father. Isn't that wonderful news? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus' words. Thank you that he was the wisest, most wonderful, most loving person to have ever walked this earth. Help us to listen to him. Help us to live in the light of what he did himself, loving those who were his enemies. And help us to be greatly assured that as we love unnaturally, in a way that brings you glory, we have received that great promise that you live within us and are making us more and more like Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.